إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala, I think this is our seventh session, lecture number seven, dealing with al-iman or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taken from the book أعلام السنة المنشورة لاعتقاد الطائفة الناجية المنصورة والإمام العلامة حافظ بن أحمد بن علي الحكمي رحمه الله. Tonight, inshallah, we'd like to go a little bit further with Tawheed, the Tawheed related to the names of Allah and His characteristics or qualities or descriptions. And just quickly, I want to remind us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with taqwa, to observe taqwa of Allah, especially by fulfilling His commandments and avoiding His prohibitions. And that every soul should look to what it has sent ahead for tomorrow. Yani, every one of us must constantly review our situation and examine what we are doing to prepare for tomorrow, for Yawm al-Qiyamah. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Khabir, He is all aware of what we do. And He will call us to account. It is incumbent upon us to reflect and to contemplate tomorrow and to prepare ourselves for it by doing something today. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to realize our need to worship Allah, to obey Him, and to be constantly engaged in those things that are pleasing to Him, so that there will be a reason to have hope for Allah's mercy and His favor and His bounty. In the previous talks, we talked about the definition of iman. What is iman? And we said that it's speech and action. Involves the heart, the tongue, and the limbs, an increase and decrease, and that the people of iman differ, they vary, some of them being superior to others. And we also talked about iman and Allah, and its four essential components, that is, believing, acknowledging, confirming the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine being, and then singling Him out alone for the various yani rights that He has, the rights of tawheed, tawheed al-ilahiyya, tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. And we already talked about, yani briefly, Tawheed al-Ilahiyyah, that all worship belongs to Allah alone, and the opposite of it, which is shirk, major and minor shirk, or the greater shirk and the lesser shirk. And we also talked about Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, what it involves, in terms of the actions of Allah, that Allah is the only creator, and the one who owns and possesses and controls everything in the universe, and there's no one that shares with Him in this, any of it at all. And last week we talked about the opposite of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and a little bit about the definition of Tawheed related to Allah's Asma, the names of Allah and His Sifat, His characteristics or descriptions or qualities, and the evidence for it. And quickly we'd like to review what we talked about last week, the three questions 50, 51 and 52, before we go on to the following questions. So the first question that we want to look at from last week is ما ضد توحيد الربوبية. Yani, what is the opposite of the Tawheed of Lordship? Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. What is the opposite of it? Naam, Sadiq.
That is to believe that there is something, or that there is someone or something that shares in the lordship or rulership along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That there is someone or something that shares with Allah. In His rulership, lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And bringing something into existence and keep it out of existence.
Like, for example, bringing something into existence or taking it out of existence. Now, anybody want to add to that anything? Naam, Ahmed.
So when he was explaining for Ijad.
Ijad.
Bringing
something into existence?
Into existence that was not existed at all.
That didn't exist at all. Naam.
And to take something out of existence that was existing.
Naam. Naam, anything else? Anybody want to add? The belief that there's something or someone along with Allah that has some sort of control over the affairs of the universe. And what else did the Shaykh say in addition to that? He said, not only the opposite of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is not only that a person believes that there's someone or something along with Allah that shares in the affairs of Rububiyyah, but also he said, to believe that there's, those examples, giving life or taking death or bringing good to someone or repulsing harm from someone. But he also said, now, Salih, that to believe that there's someone who can compete or contend or challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which we understand of the necessities that result from the meanings of Allah's names and sifat. That there's not only, they believe that there's someone along with Allah that shares in the control of something of the affairs of the control of the universe, but also, it also includes that someone believes that there's someone who can contend with Allah, can compete with Allah, can challenge Allah in the affairs of Rububiyyah. This is the opposite of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, yani shirk in Rububiyyah. Naam, that there's someone who's sharing with Allah, or someone who can contend with Allah, or challenge Him in these matters. Naam. Okay, that's basically what we said. And next question. Naam. Question 51. ما هو التوحيد الأسماء والصفات؟ يعني what is the Tawheed of Allah's names and characteristics? The Tawheed of أسماء والصفات. What do we mean by this? إيمان and Tawheed الأسماء والصفات. نعم. منصور.
To believe in the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to believe in His attributes and the way He describes Himself.
Okay, to believe in the beautiful names of Allah and His attributes or the way He describes Himself. Somebody want to add to that? Add to that. Naam, Ibrahim.
Not to try to explain
the how. How is Allah? How are Allah's characteristics or qualities or His actions? Naam, not to explain the how of it. Naam. Anybody want to add to that? Naam, Ahmed.
Have iman in the descriptions of Allah, the ones that came in the Quran and the ones that came in the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The descriptions that came in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
To accept them the way they came.
To accept them the way they are. Naam. Naam.
To use these names to call on Allah, that Allah ordered us to.
To call on Allah by them. Naam. But that's a little bit deeper into it. Yes, I think we mentioned it in passing. Naam.
And to Allah belongs more than 99 names.
And that to Allah belongs more than 99 names. Naam. So, the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, there are a number of different ways that we can define it, okay? But the essential elements of the definition of Tawheed, of the Asma of Allah and the Sifat of Allah, is that a person believes in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with in the Qur'an, or that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described Him with in the Sunnah, from names or characteristics or qualities or descriptions, yani asma or sifat, to believe in whatever Allah has named Himself with or described Himself with, and whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have named Him with or described Him with in the Quran and Sunnah, and accepting them just as they are without any change, yani believing them as they appear to be on the surface, the meaning as they are in Arabic, without making takyif, without explaining the how of it. And some of the scholars also said, for example, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, without tamthil. And he said, instead of takif, he said tamthil. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, tamthil means making an example. Making an example to describe Allah's characteristics. You say, for example, Allah descended, or Allah descends to the lowest heaven of this world. And then you make an example of how it is. For example, like such and such and so on and so. Okay? And the difference between making an example, explaining the how of it, and they are similar. And both of them are in reference to the sifat of Allah, is that explaining the how of it is general. There are many ways you can explain the how of it. Making an example of it is more specific. It comes under the how, explaining the how of it. But it's explaining the how of it in a particular way, by making an example. Could be by making an example, could be by making a comparison. There are other ways of describing the how of it. So making an example is more specific. And explaining the how of it is more general, it includes that. But Shaykh al-Uthaymeen preferred to use tamthil, because that's the way the language that Allah came in the Quran with, when He said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ مِثْلِهِ. He used the word that comes from the root for same as mithal. There's no example, there's nothing like him, no example like him. So in any case, both of these are okay. And some of the scholars also said, don't make tahrif, any distorting the meanings, or ta'atil, emptying them of their meanings. Like a person says they believe that Allah is as-sami', but without, yani He's the all-hearing, but without the meaning of all-hearing, the sifa of hearing, without that. That's ta'atil, emptying of its meaning. And these are some of the things that, some of the ways that the scholars explain it. But this is the most important part of it, is believing in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about Himself in the Quran, or what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said about Him in the authentic sunnah. And accepting just as they came, without making any changes or distortions or negations or examples or explanations of how. Okay, after this, next question. And by the way, this topic of Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, the Shaykh, the rest of what we're going to talk about in this class is going to be related to Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. And perhaps you can understand the need for this greater detail in this area as opposed to Tawheed al-Ilahiyya, the worship, the Tawheed of the worship, making worship for Allah alone, or the Tawheed of Rububiyya, the Lordship. Because most of the people know something about this. But as far as this area of Tawheed, most of the people don't know about it. And the details of it are extremely important. And the last question that we took last week, question number 52, مَا دَلِيلَ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. What is the evidence for the beautiful names of Allah in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah? In the Qur'an and in the Sunnah. What is the evidence that the beautiful names, the perfect qualities, or the names of perfection belong to Allah alone? What is the proof for this? From the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. Now, Abu Bakr. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. نعم. What is the surah or ayat where this ayat came from? What surah? Anybody remember? Araf? 180? Zakarah. 7180. Jazakallah khair. Now, what is the meaning of this ayat? Somebody help us. He gave us the ayat. Somebody give us the meaning of it. Now, Ahmed.
So Allah belongs to the most beautiful names. So follow Him by
that. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names. Most beautiful names belongs to Allah alone. So call on Him by them. Now, so this is affirmation that the names belong to Allah. And it's also a command to us to use them. And one of the ways to use them is to make dua with them. To call on Allah with them. That's one of the ways. Now, طيب, from the sunnah, evidence from the sunnah that the beautiful names belong to Allah. Naam,
Sadiq. Indeed Allah has 99 names, and whoever call upon Him with these names will be granted paradise.
Naam, indeed Allah has 99 names, particular group of 99 names, which those particular 99 names, whoever call on Allah by them, whoever memorizes them, whoever enumerates them. Man ahsaha, enumerate. Doesn't matter, because that word can't be easily translated with any word anyway. If we say enumerate or memorize or whatever, none of it really covers the real meaning of ihsa. Man ahsaha dakhala jannah. The one who will enter Jannah is the one who identifies those names, those particular 99 names from the names of Allah, which are many, who identifies them, learns their meanings, understands them, and then applies them in their life, making dua with them, living in accordance with what they call for from that person, acting like those names have meaning in your life, and all of this. Now, worshipping Allah by them, and making dua to Allah by them. And this particular topic of the meaning of that hadith, the Shaykh talks about in detail, in great detail, that we'll talk about later on, inshallah, bi-idhnillah. Tayyib, what about the other hadith? Before we go on to tonight's question. Anybody remember the other hadith? That hadith is very important. It almost slipped my mind. The other hadith that proves that Allah's names are not limited to 99. General meaning of it. Yes. Sorry. Naam. Naam. There's no person who's afflicted with grief, sorrow, anxiety, worry, concern, except, and if they said this dua, then what would happen? Allah will remove it from them. He will remove their sorrow, their grief, their anxiety, their worry. He will remove it from them. And He will replace it with farah, happiness, joy. Naam. And in the end of the hadith, very important part of the end of the hadith. And I think I tried to emphasize the end of the hadith last week. The end of the hadith. In some of the narrations of the hadith, someone, it was said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should we learn them? Ala nata'allamuha? Should we not learn them? And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? It is incumbent. Naam, bala, bala. Ala, bala. Naam, bala. Naam, it is incumbent. Yanbaghi liman sami'aha an yata'allamaha. That it is incumbent upon the person who hears this that they should learn it. And I bring up this point of this hadith for what reason? Whoever hears it, they should learn it. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's incumbent upon us to learn it. Okay, even if that supplication is a long supplication, and there are other ones which are short. But some of these long supplications we cannot escape from, and this is one of them. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, يَنْبَغِي. It is incumbent upon you. If you heard it, to learn it. Okay? And in that supplication, the Prophet ﷺ narrated to us the words of a person who says that, O Allah, I am your servant, and the servant of your male, and the son of your male servant, and the son of your female servant. And my forelock is in your hand, meaning you have complete control over me. And whatever you judge or you rule, whatever you command is executed. And whatever you rule, it is just. And then he said, أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ ism هُوَ لَكْ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكْ أَوْ أَنزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابَكْ أَوْ عَلَّمْتُ أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِكْ أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكْ أَنْ تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعَ قَلْبِي. To make the Qur'an the spring, yani the joy, the happiness of my heart, وَنُورَ صَدْرِي, and the light of my chest, وَجَلَاءَ حُزْنِي, and that which removes, yani takes away, banishes my sadness or grief, وَذَهَابَ Hammi, and that which removes my worries and concern, anxiety. The Prophet ﷺ, in that, he taught us this supplication, a very, very important supplication, that I ask you, Allah, with every name that belongs to you, that you have named yourself with, or that you have revealed in your book, or that you have taught any one of your creatures, whether angel or prophet or otherwise, that the other people don't know about, or that which you kept with yourself in the knowledge of the unseen, that no created being knows about. I ask you by all of those names to make the Qur'an for me like this, the spring of my heart and the light of my chest. And this is something that all of us are in need of. So I'm repeating this again because this is a supplication. If you can't memorize it, it's all right. It's written down. You can carry it, carry the book in your pocket or make a photocopy of it and read it. We're in need of this. That the Qur'an will be for us, Rabi'ah. The Rabi'ah, the spring of our qulub, and the nur, the light of our chest, that will remove our sorrow and grief and our worries. Naam. Naam, it's in the fortress of the Muslim, right? I think we mentioned that it's in the fortress of the Muslim. 122. Okay, Jayid.
I have a different edition, and mine is not 122.
We'll look for it for you then.
120?
120? Okay. I'm not really sure. I don't remember what page it was on. But if somebody has it, then please help. Or after the class, brother, I'll look for it for you, inshallah. I'll find it for you, inshallah. No problem. Tayyib. And as we go to the next question, I just want to say that it is incumbent upon us to memorize some of these supplications. Some of them, at least. It's incumbent upon us to memorize some of them. And if we can't memorize them again, at least take them wherever they are in writing and read them as much as you can. Allahumma musta'an. Tayyib. Tonight, the question that we want to start with is question number 53. Question number 53. ما مثال الأسماء الحسنى من القرآن? What is the example or examples of الأسماء الحسنى, of the beautiful names that belong to Allah alone, من القرآن? The examples of Allah's beautiful names in the Qur'an are so many. They're innumerable. They came over and over and over again. And it's incumbent upon us to learn some of them and to understand their meanings and to dwell on them and reflect upon them and contemplate their meanings so that they affect our heart and our behavior and our action and our worship. Because these are the things that will bring you closer to your Lord and will help you to worship Him the way He deserves to be worshipped. Some of the brothers, we sat in the masjid last week, one day, I don't remember which day it was. And we just, everybody gave us name, whatever they could think of the names of Allah. We wrote some of them on the board. So we wrote a lot of names. I don't know how many, if anybody ever counted them. Maybe there were 60 or 70 or 80 names. And we know that Allah has more names than that. But we wrote some of them amongst ourselves. So this is a reminder to us that it's incumbent upon us to know the names of Allah. As many as you can know. If you know 10, alhamdulillah, then add 10 more. Make it 20, make it 30, make it 40, until you know at least 99. And hopefully if you learn more than that, maybe within the ones you learned will be the 99 names, which those special names, which are, yani, they have excellence over the other names, such that these 99, whoever learns them and memorizes them and acts in accordance with them, they will enter the Jannah. This is a means of entering Jannah. It's incumbent upon us to know these names. If you learned one name every week, not every day, every week, by the end of the year, you'll have 50-something, right? And by the next year, khalas, you have over 100. Who can't memorize one name in a whole week and add another name next week? Shame on us. Naam. Alhamdulillah, some of the brothers know a lot of names, mashallah. Okay, we're going to go quickly through some of these names. But as we're going through them, okay, what we want to do... We want to like think of how many of these names I know as we mention them and how many of them I don't know. And maybe I know all of them. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. Then learn some more. And if there are many here that I don't know, it means I need to get busy learning the names of Allah. What better way to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than that which He has named Himself with? Especially if you understand that the names of Allah also including within the names the meanings that tell us about His characteristics, His qualities, His descriptions. What better thing can you be learning about than knowing your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the Shaykh says, what is the example of the names of the beautiful names of Allah from the Qur'an? First, he mentions the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 34th Ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Indeed, Allah... He is Aliyan Kabira. Al Ali is the one who is high, exalted, lofty. Allah is very high, Al Ali. Al Kabir is the one that is great, magnificent, tremendous. Naam, Al Kabir. And then he mentions in Surah Al Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 34th Ayat. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. لَطِيفًا khabira. Latif is the one who's kind, gentle, who has knowledge of the most subtle of affairs, hidden, secret things. Latif, naam. And khabir is the one who is aware of everything. Al-khabir. That's different from al-kabir, right? Kabir, khabir. Kabir with kaf, khabir with kha. Khabir, the one who is aware of everything. And just consider that Allah is latif. That means that He is gentle, He is kind with His servants, His believing servants. Now, and He's also aware of the subtlest of affairs. That means He knows our secrets. Isn't that something to reflect upon? That Allah is al-latif. He knows whatever even is secret. Thoughts that's in the back of your mind that maybe you can't even hardly remember, and it comes up sometime. And Allah knows all of that. He knows everything that we're thinking, planning, intending, as well as everything that we're doing, or have done, or will do. Now, but He is gentle with His servants, and that's beautiful. Allah is gentle, He's kind to His servants, and He's khabir, all aware. And then He mentions the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 44th Ayat, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. Al-Alim, the one who is all-knowing, who has knowledge, ilm of everything. Al-Qadir, the one who is able, powerful, who's capable of doing whatever He wills. Naam. Allah is capable of doing whatever He wills. Our Lord is Al-Qadir. And He's also Al-Qadir and Al-Muqtadir, which are names of similar meaning. And then He mentioned the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 58 Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. That indeed Allah is سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. As-Sami', the one who hears everything, who's hearing, doesn't leave anything out. Basir, al-basir, the one whose sight, whose seeing is perfect, complete. He sees everything. There's nothing hidden from him. No matter how far, in darkness or light. Naam. So Allah hears everything that we say. And He sees everything that we do. So if a person thinks about that, every day, as much as possible, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah is hearing all that we are saying. And He is seeing all that we are doing. That will help you. That will help you to observe taqwa of Allah. Naam. And send something ahead for yourself for tomorrow. And the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 56 Ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. That indeed Allah is Aziz, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. Al-Aziz, the mighty. Al-Hakim, the wise. Yani the one who, whatever he does, his speech and his actions, his rulings, his judgments, is all based upon hikmah, putting everything in its right place. Nothing is out of place. There's no injustice there at all. He is Aziz and Hakima. He's mighty and he's also wise. He uses his yani might with wisdom. He's not reckless. And the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 23rd Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. That verily indeed Allah, He is Ghafoor, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Rahim. Al-Ghafoor, the one who is forgiving. Al-Rahim, the one who is merciful. He is forgiving, merciful. Naam. So we don't lose hope. The Muslim doesn't lose hope. Rather, the Muslim, if you make a mistake or commit an error, or go astray, you get back on track. You get back up. You get back on track and get yourself straight. You repent to Allah and ask His forgiveness, because Allah is what? Allah is forgiving. And He is Rahim, merciful. And the saying of Allah in Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah, 117th Ayat, إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ رَعُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ رَعُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Yani that Allah is Ra'uf, and He is Rahim to them, meaning His servants, the believers. Even when they erred, He is still most kind, Ra'uf. And most merciful, Rahim, kind and compassionate and merciful. Naam. And the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 263rd Ayat, وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَلِيمٌ. وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَلِيمٌ. That Allah, He is ghani, He is rich, free of needs. Halim, He is tolerant, clement, and easy. He is not quick to punish those who do wrong. He's not quick to punish the servants when they sin. Rather, He is clement and He is tolerant. And He gives us a lot of chances. Wallahu ghaniyun. He's rich, free of need. He owns everything in the heavens and the earth. And He is Halim. And the saying of Allah in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 73rd Ayah, إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. That indeed He is Al-Hamid, the one who is praiseworthy, who deserves to be praised. Because of His perfect names and characteristics, and because of the favors and bounties that He gave to His people, and all that He has done, He deserves to be praised. And He is Majid, glorious, glorified. And the saying of Allah also in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 57th Ayah, إِنَّ رَبِّي عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَفِيظٌ. That indeed my Rabb, He is Hafiz, guarding, protecting, guardian, preserver over everything. Naam. Allah is a guardian, Hafiz, He protects and preserves His servants, the believers especially. And Surah Hud again, 11th Surah, 61st Ayat. Inna Rabbi Qareebun Mujib. That indeed my Rabb is Qareeb. Al-Qareeb, He is near. Yani near by His knowledge, by His power, by His hearing, by His sight. Naam. Near in that way, but Allah is above His throne. Naam. Qareebun Mujib. Mujib, the one who, Al-Mujib, the one who responds. You call on Him, He answers you. He said, call on Me, I will answer you. He's Qareebun Mujibun. Call on Allah, He's near. And He responds. Naam. Allahu Akbar. He responds. That's a promise from Allah. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 1st Ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Naam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. That indeed Allah, He is a watcher over you. Raqib. He is watching, monitoring the whole situation. A believer should not fear. If they have been worshipping Allah, they should not fear. Allah is watching all the time. If nobody else is there to watch over you, Allah is watching. He's Raqib. Alaykum Raqiba. Naam. He's watching all the time. And nothing will happen to you except what Allah allows. That's impossible. That anything can happen except Allah allows it. And if Allah allows it, there's no way to repulse it anyway. Inna Allah kana alaykum Raqiba. And Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 81st Ayah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَقِيلًا. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَقِيلًا. And sufficient is Allah as a waqil. Al-waqil is the one who is entrusted with your affairs. The one who has the authority and the right to dispose of your affairs. The one that represents you, that takes care of your matters. Al-waqil. And the saying of Allah also in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 6th Ayat. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. And Allah is sufficient as a hasib. Al-hasib, the reckoner, the one who takes account, who keeps the accounts, the hasib, the hisab. He is al-hasib. Sufficient is Allah as one to take account. There will be nothing left out. Don't worry, if you have done any good, no matter how small, secret, long time ago, you forgot about it, it will be all in the account. Don't worry, Allah will not miss anything. Sufficient is Allah as the one who takes account. But He will also take account of the other things too. So be careful. Naam. Allah save us from our sins and our shortcomings. Allah musta'an. And Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 85th Ayat. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. And Allah is over everything, Al-Muqit. Al-Muqit, some of the translators, they translate as protector, in other ways they translate Allahu Alam. But in any case, Al-Imam Al-Tabari, the Imam of the scholars of Tafsir, he said that Al-Muqit, it is Al-Qadir. Muqit means Al-Qadir, the one who is powerful, who is able. And Ibn Abbas and Atta and Qatada from the Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma from the Sahaba and Atta and Qatada from the Tabi'een, they said that Raqib means Hafiz. Hafiz, the one who protects and preserves and guards. And Mujahid, one of the scholars from the Tabi'een, scholars of Tafsir, he said Raqib means shaheed, hasib. The Raqib means what? Shaheed, the witness. And hasib, the one who takes account. So all of these meanings are permissible. This is a word that is hard to translate. It has so many meanings. Qadir, the one who is powerful, able. Hafiz, the one who protects and guards and preserves. Shaheed, the witness. Hasib, the one who takes account. All of these are meanings from the scholars of Islam, from the early generations of Muslims, for the word muqeet, that Allah is muqeet. Naam. And from Surah Al-Fussilat, 41st Surah, 53rd Ayat, the saying of Allah, أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ, that indeed He is a witness over everything. Allah is a witness of everything. If there's no other witnesses, Allah is the witness. Naam. Huh? 53rd. 41st Surah, 53. Ayah 53. Naam. That Allah is a witness over everything. And from Surah Al-Fussilat also, 41st Surah, 54th Ayat. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطٍ, that indeed He is over everything muhit. Yani He surrounds, encompasses everything. Muhit. He surrounds everything. There's nothing outside of His knowledge or His grip or His grasp or His power. He is muhit, al-muhit. He encompasses everything. And here, there's an ayat in some of the copies of this book, but it's not in this particular copy. It may not be in yours. The Shaykh mentioned, in some of the copies it's mentioned, from Surah Baqarah, second Surah, 255th Ayah, and it also came, the same words came in Surah Ali Imran, third Surah, second Ayah. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, al-hayyul qayyum. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, al-hayyul qayyum. That Allah, there is nothing or no one that deserves to worship except Him. He is al-hayy, al-qayyum. The one, they're all living, the one who has perfect life. And al-qayyum, the one who is self-subsisting. Yani who doesn't have any need of anyone, but everyone is in need of Him. Naam. And then he mentions from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 3rd Ayah. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم, that He is الأول, the first, الآخر, the last, الظاهر, يعني the most high, and الباطن, the most near. And of course, any, some of these names may possibly be translated in different ways, but in any case we translate it like this, based on a hadith that we'll talk about later, that explains the meaning of الظاهر, that there is nothing above Him, so He is the most high. And الباطن, and there's nothing closer than Him. So He is the nearest. And Allah knows best. As the Prophet ﷺ explained it like that in a hadith that we will mention, inshallah. And He is over everything. Alim, al-Alim. He knows everything. There's nothing outside of His knowledge. And then the Shaykh mentions finally from Surah Al-Hashr, 59th Surah, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Ayat. And these ayats, yani, I think Abu Bakr memorized these ayats because when we were going over the names, it sounded like he was reciting from there. the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَتَعَالَى, that He is Allah, the one who, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, He is the one who is alim, who knows. He has complete knowledge of the ghaib and the shahada, that which is absent or unseen, and that which is present, that which is witnessed, the seen and the unseen. He has knowledge of all of that. وَهُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ, and He is the most beneficent, and الرَّحِيمُ, the most merciful. And these names require some discussion. We'll come to them again later, inshallah. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, He is Allah, the one whom there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min al-Muhaymin al-Aziz al-Jabbar al-Mutakabbir. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. That He is Al-Malik, the King. Al-Quddus, the Holy One, I guess they translate it as. Allahu A'lam, that's a good translation. Maybe it could be. As-Salam, the one who is free from any defects. Or they said, the one who is the source of peace. As-Salam, safety and security. And these two names, Al-Quddus and As-Salam, have similar meanings. And both of them include the meaning of what? That there's something which has no, it's free from any defect, any shortcoming, any imperfection. And perhaps we'll talk about those names at some other place in a little bit more detail. Al-Quddus, As-Salam. Al-Mu'minu, the granter of security, who confirms with that which he sends through his messengers of the revelations, confirms the correctness of the iman of his servants who believe in him. Al-Mu'minu, Al-Muhaiminu, the one who watches over his servants. Al-Aziz, the mighty. Al-Jabbar, the compeller, who compels and force. And it also has another meaning. Jabbara, Jabbar, mean the one who puts things together, who fixes that which is broken. He fixes and heals the broken hearts of his believing servants, and so on. Al-Mutakabbir, the majestic, the great. Al-Mutakabbir, na'am, subhanallah amma yushrikun. And we declare Allah to be free of whatever the mushriks associate with him. And finally, he mentions the last ayat of this section. Huwa Allahu al-Khaliqu al-Bari al-Musawwiru lahu al-Asma' al-Husna yusabbihu lahu ma fi as-samawati wal-ard wa huwa al-Aziz al-Hakim. That he is Allah al-Khaliq, the creator, al-Bari, the originator, who brings things into existence from nothing. Al-Musawwir, the one who gives things their shape or form. Lahu al-Asma' al-Husna. For him alone belong the beautiful names. Meaning the perfect names, the names of perfection. يُصَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And everything that is in the heavens and the earth, declare his perfection. Declare, acknowledge that he is free of any imperfection. The meaning of tasbih, that we usually translate as, glory to Allah, at-tasbih, it means to declare, to acknowledge that Allah is free of any imperfection. Subhana, subhanallah, means that Allah is free of imperfections. He is perfect. Oh, how perfect is Allah. Naam, yusabbihu lahu ma fi as-samawati wal-ard, wa huwa al-aziz al-hakim. And he is al-aziz, the mighty, al-hakim, the all-wise. So these are some of the names that the Shaykh has mentioned, and there are many more. We will find the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Qawaid al-Muthla, yani the exemplary principles. He gave a list of names that he collected by his ijtihad, that he considered as 99 names, inshallah, applicable to the hadith that Allah has 99 names, that whoever ahsaha dakhal al-Jannah will enter the paradise. And he mentioned some names that might be unknown to us. And perhaps if we have a chance, we go over some of those names, or if we can find that list somewhere, we can send it to the class so you can see the names that he collected. 80-something names, I think 81 names from the Qur'an and 18 names from the Sunnah. And the Shaykh, he said he didn't include any names that are compound names because he, by his ijtihad, he said he doesn't think that that is what Allah intended in that hadith when he mentioned the 99 names. The names that are compound names, like رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ or something like this, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَ and like this. He didn't include any of those names in his collection. And his teacher, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, also in his book, in Asma wa Sifat, he has given a list also of more than 99 names. I think 102, 104 names in his list. And other scholars have mentioned other lists. And none of it is directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by revelation, rather it's the ijtihad of the scholars. Now, next question. And again, these names that we have read from these ayahs from the Qur'an, as Shaykh has mentioned here, these are only a sample of some of the names of Allah. And in reflecting on them, perhaps, inshallah, it should make us feel the need to learn them and to learn their meanings and to understand them and then to see how do we apply them to our lives. Naam. The Shaykh says in question 54, مَا مِثَالَ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى مِنَ السُّنَّةِ. What is the example or examples of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Sunnah? And there are a lot of names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came in the Sunnah. And If we find the name of Allah in the Sunnah, we should be careful to make sure that the hadith is sahih. That's important, okay? As far as the Quran, alhamdulillah, we don't have to worry about it being sahih. But as far as the Sunnah now, we have to be sure that the hadith that we're taking that name from is sahih. Because a lot of the scholars in their list, they collected names that came from the Sunnah, but from hadith that's da'if. And this is something that is, yani the names of Allah are tawqifiyah, meaning that it's something that nobody can just make ijtihad on and come up with on their own, make up a name for Allah. Rather, we said iman, having iman in asma wa sifat means that we believe in what Allah has named or described himself with, and what the Prophet ﷺ have named or described him with, yani in the authentic hadith, not just in any hadith, in authentic hadith, the hadith sahih. So the Shaykh has mentioned some hadith here, 8 hadith, and each of them from the Sunnah contains some of the names of Allah, and some of these hadith are distinguished from others because of certain meanings that came in them, and I hope that we will have a chance to discuss some of it, at least in brief. The first, he says, like the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, La ilaha illallah, al-azim, al-halim. Yani that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah. First, before we read the hadith here that the Shaykh mentions for these names, I want to mention that this supplication is mentioned in the Fortress of the Muslim, in supplication number 122. Naam. And it's under the chapter 25, which is invocations for anguish. Person who has anxiety or distress or fear. Person has anxiety or stress. Then this is the supplication that we should be saying. So if you don't know the supplication, you need to learn it. And if you can't memorize it, write it down. Naam. This is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the supplication he said? La ilaha illallah, al-azim, al-halim. Al-azim, the great, the supreme. Al-halim, the clement, the forbearing. Okay, we are saying this for what? For removal of stress, anxiety. A person is under some kind of pressure. This is a supplication that you can say instead of taking some pills or some meditation on I don't know what we'd be meditating on. Huh? The Prophet ﷺ has given this as a healing, as a means of healing, of relieving one's stress. La ilaha illallah. If we think about the meaning of La ilaha illallah, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. All the things that you can come up with from this. First and foremost, that we should be worshipping Allah alone. Maybe that's why we're in stress. We're not worshipping Allah alone. La ilaha illallah. Naam. Al-azim, the supreme. Al-halim, the clement, the forbearing. La ilaha illallah. This is the substance, the essence of the matter. There's nothing that deserves to be worshipped but Allah. Rabbul Arshil Azim. And He is the Rabb of the magnificent, great, supreme Arsh. Naam. And this Arsh, as we know, and we're just reminding ourselves, is different from the Kursi, right? In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah mentions the ayah that is known as Ayatul Kursi. That's different from the Arsh of Allah. The Kursi, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, is Mawdi Qadami Ar-Rahman. It is the place of the 2 feet of Ar-Rahman. Naam, that's authentically reported from who? The one who knows the Quran best. From Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said the Kursi is the place of the 2 feet of Ar-Rahman. Naam. And the Arsh is different. The Arsh is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's far greater than the Kursi. If the Kursi extends over the heavens and earth, then what is the Arsh then? Because the Arsh is superior to the Kursi in the same way that the Kursi is superior to a little metal ring that you throw out in the desert. Is it of any significance? The Kursi of Allah is magnificent in reference to everything else. It's tremendous, and the Arsh is greater than that by far. Now, so He is what? La ilaha illallah, Rabbul Arsh al-Azim. He is the Lord of al-Arsh al-Azim, the magnificent throne. La ilaha illallah, Rabbul Samawati, wa Rabbul Ardi, wa Rabbul Arsh al-Kareem. There is nothing that deserves the worship except Allah. He is the Rabb of the Samawat, the heavens, and He is the Rabb of the Ard, the earth, and He is the Rabb of al-Arsh al-Kareem, the noble, honorable Arsh, throne. This hadith is reported in Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Ahmed, and others. And again, I say it is number 122 in the fortress of Muslim. Second hadith, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, as the Shaykh narrated here, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Badi al-Samawati wal-Ard. He mentioned it like that. In this second supplication, the wording of it, and most of the hadith came in the reverse order. Okay, and it's also mentioned in the fortress of Muslim. Supplication number 64, chapter number 24. The dua, Ba'd al-Tashahud al-Akhir. Qabla salam. Yani this is a dua that a person should make in salat. After the last tashahud, the second tashahud, in the prayer that has two shahads, two tashahud, like in Maghrib or Isha or Dhuhr or Asr. If you recite tashahud in the last tashahud, when you're sitting in the last rak'ah, after the tashahud and before you make taslim. In between the end of the tashahud and taslim, you should recite this supplication. And there are a lot of hadith this supplication came in. The wording of it was a little bit different, the way the Shaykh mentioned here, I checked. I went back to the sources. The hadith came in Abu Dawud, it came in Tirmidhi, it came in a number of different books. Shaykh al-Albani mentioned that it's sahih in some of his books, and Ibn Qayyim also mentioned that it's sahih, and Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani mentioned that it's hasan. And in some of the wording of this hadith, for example, it mentions something else that we need to know about this hadith. And one of the narrations of this hadith, the narration as it came in the fortress of the Muslim, the narrator said that he heard a man saying in his tashahud, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anna laka alhamd, la ilaha illa anta wahdaka la sharika lak al-mannan, ya badi'u as-samawati wal-ard, ya dhal jalali wal-ikram, ya hayyu ya qayyum, inni as'aluka al-jannah, wa'udhu bika min al-nar. Yani that he heard a man saying in his tashahud, Allahumma inni as'aluka, oh Allah, I ask you. Yani I'm asking you for something, bi anna laka alhamd, due to the fact that the praise belongs to you. La ilaha illa anta, there's nothing that deserves your worship except you, alone, without any partner. La ilaha illa anta, wahdaka la sharika lak. Al-mannan, yani the one who gives a lot. Ya badiyu as-samawati wal-ard, oh the one who created the heavens and the earth. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, the one who possess majesty and honor. Ya hayyu, ya qayyum, the one who is all living, who is self-subsisting. Inni as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. Indeed, I ask you for the Jannah and I seek refuge in you from the hellfire. Naam. The Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, do you know what he was supplicating? They said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَقَدْ دَعَ اللَّهِ بِإِسْمِهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَفِي الرِّوَايَةِ الْأَعْظَمِ الَّذِي إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by the one whose hand is my soul. Indeed, he has supplicated to Allah with his إِسْمِهِ الْعَظِيمِ. His great name, yani, and some narrators said, Al-A'zam, his greatest name. The name which, if he is called, yani, إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. If you call on him by it, he will answer you. وَإِذَا سُعِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى. And if you ask him for something, by that name, he will give it to you. Huh? So this is a supplication that we need to learn. Now, and this supplication, this wording, came in the Fortress of Muslim, supplication number 64. And the wording is slightly different in some of the other narrations of the hadith in different places. But basically, this part of the narration is the same. يعني بديع السماوات والأرض يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم. يعني the one who is the creator, the originator of heavens and earth, the one who is the possessor of majesty and honor, the one who is حي, الحي, the one who is perfect life, and القيوم, the one who is self-subsisting. He said, I ask you, O Allah, calling him by these names, I ask you for the Jannah, and I seek refuge in you from the hellfire. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, do you know what he is supplicating with? He is supplicating Allah with his greatest name, which if he is called upon by it, he will answer. And if he is asked for something by it, he will give it. And like I said, this hadith is narrated in a lot of places, and from amongst the scholars who said that it's sahih, from the earlier scholars is Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, and from the later scholars, Shaykh al-Albani. رحمهم الله. And I'll leave this for now because perhaps we will not have time. But in any case, this supplication is a very important supplication. Inshallah, you go back and check it, write it down, memorize it or something, and use it. Use it. Ask Allah for the Jannah, yani, and relief from the hellfire. In fact, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and maybe it's mentioned in the Fortunes of Muslim. I'm not really sure. As'aluka al-jannata wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. Whoever says this three times. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. Whoever says this three times, the Jannah will say, "Oh Allah, admit him into the Jannah." And the hellfire will say, "Oh Allah, protect him from the hellfire." And the hadith is sahih. And I didn't write it down here, but anyway, it came to my mind now. So it's something that we need to also look into. Very important matter. Naam. Third hadith, the Shaykh says, وَقَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. In the name of Allah, who, with His name, مَعَ اسْمِهِ لَا يَضُرُّ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Nothing in the earth or in the heavens will cause harm to the one who mentions the name of Allah. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. He has everything. He knows everything. We should call on Allah by this. With this, we should supplicate to Allah with this supplication, or reflect upon the meaning of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said: "Bismillah, al-ladhi la yadurru ma'asmi shayun fil ardi wa la fil sama, huwa as-sami' al-alim." And this supplication came in the explanation in the book that we distributed last year during Ramadan. The explanation of the adhkar sabah wal masa. I think it's the first supplication in that book. Explanation of this hadith here. So this is something you should go back and read it for the meaning of it, not just the translation, but also the meaning and significance of this very important supplication. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith related to this, whoever says it three times in the morning and three times in the evening, nothing will harm him. Nothing will harm him. Naam. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ahmed in the Musnad, and Shaykh al-Albani mentioned it in Sahih ibn Majah. Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, said that it is Hassan. Naam. And it's in the Fortress of the Muslim. It's in the Fortress of the Muslim, supplication number 86, under the chapter of the morning and evening, any words of remembrance. Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa. And fourth supplication, the Shaykh says, وَقَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ اللَّهُمَّ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَاتِرُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَلِيكَ. That's how the Shaykh mentioned it. And this portion of the supplication. And this supplication number four is also in the Fortress of the Muslim. Supplication number 85 in the Fortress of the Muslim. And the chapter, what you say, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ. If you reach the morning, yani from the supplications or yani adhkar that you should say in the morning. Naam. Reported by Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Al-Hakim, Ahmed and others. Al-Hakim said that it's sahih and Al-Zahabi agreed with him. Shaykh Al-Albani mentioned it, sahih Al-Tirmidhi. The wording of this hadith may be reversed. In most of the narrations it came like this: Allahumma alim al-ghaybi wa shahada. And some of the narrations, I think in the Fortress of Muslim, maybe it came the opposite way: Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard, alim al-ghaybi wal-shahada. In any case, yani both of them came in hadith, but this one is more common, the wording here. Allahumma alim al-ghaybi wal-shahada, O Allah, the one who knows the unseen and the seen. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Rabba kulli shayin wa malika, the one who is the Lord of everything. The creator, owner, possessor, control of everything. And the king of it, of everything. Naam. This supplication, as it came in the hadith, actually it mentions after this, Allahumma alim al-ghaybi wa-shahada, fatir al-samawati wal-ard, rabba kulli shayu malika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi wa min sharri shaytani wa shirki. And in some of the narrations, wa naqtarifa ala nafsi su'an aw ajurruhu ila muslim. The meaning, after calling Allah by these names, to get near to Allah by calling Him by His names, You say, I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except you. And I seek refuge in you from the evil of myself and from the evil of shaitan and his shirk. Yani, making yani partners with Allah. And that I bring harm to myself or that I bring harm to the Muslim. This supplication is of the utmost importance. Think about the meaning of this. First, you're calling Allah by His names. And second, you're bearing witness to the Tawheed of Allah. And then you're asking for your need. What is it? أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر الشيطان والشركي. That I seek refuge in you from the evil of myself and the evil of shaitan his shirk. Note that the Prophet ﷺ in this supplication said, I seek refuge in Allah first from what? From the evil of myself. Before the evil of shaitan. That's something to think about. That's not by accident. I mean, what does that mean to you? You are definitely, you know you have to seek refuge in Allah from the evil of shaitan, right? But did you know you have to seek refuge in Allah from the evil of your own self? Before seeking refuge from shaitan. What does that tell you about yourself? An-nafs al-ammar bis-su. The lower self that commands you to do evil. And then he said, وَأَنْ عَقْتَرِفَ عَلَى نَفْسِي سُوءًا أَوْ جُرُهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. This supplication also came in the Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa, in the book that we distributed in Ramadan. And there's a good explanation from Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. حَفِظُهُمْ Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And he mentions in there that the two sources of evil is yourself and shaitan. And the ends, the consequences of those evil is that it will come back to yourself or to someone else. So you're also seeking refuge in Allah. From what? From bringing harm to your own self by your evil deeds, your sin and corruption. Or bringing harm to a Muslim. Because sometimes our evil is not limited to ourselves. Rather it harms the people, the society, the Muslim community. And we seek refuge in Allah from bringing harm to ourselves and from bringing harm to the Muslims, to another Muslim. Some of us, we're reckless. We don't care who the harm comes to. You do something and it falls on somebody else. Those people, subhanAllah, they did what they did, that you're reading on the news and you're hearing on the news media. They call themselves Muslims. Allahu A'lam if they're Muslims. They're murdering innocent people, bombing people, doing all kind of corruption and filth, and it got nothing to do with Islam. And who's the harm is coming back to who? To the Muslims. Come back to the Muslims. And they don't care nothing about it, about bringing harm to the Muslims. They don't care nothing about it. And Allah knows best who bombed the World Trade Center. Allah knows best who bombed it. But they claimed that the Muslims did it. And some Muslims claimed themselves that they did it. And Allah knows best who did it. But the harm from that came to who? The Muslims. After that, what did they do? They go and bomb the Muslim countries and destroy the lands and the people and kill thousands of people. And then those people brag about we did it. You did what? What did you do? Prepare a road for yourself to the hellfire? May Allah save us from the evil and corruption of these Khawarij. Naam. Allahu musta'an. So this is something for us to think about also. This supplication is a very beautiful supplication, important. Okay, that was the fourth supplication, right? Fifth supplication. This supplication is from the Adhkar al-Nawm, that a person should say when they're going to sleep at night. It's reported by Imam Muslim, Ahmed, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, from Abu Hurairah. And it's in the Fortress of the Muslim. Supplication number 107. Supplication number 107. In the Fortress of the Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma rabba as-samawati as-sab'i. And in some of the narration it has, even though it's not here, wa rabbul ard, wa rabbul arsh al-azim. O Allah, the Lord of the seven heavens, and the Lord of the earth, and the Lord of the magnificent arsh. Rabbana, wa rabba kulli shay'in. Our Lord, and the Lord of everything, including what? Falak al-habbi wal-nawa, the one who splits the seed or the grain and the date stone. The Lord of everything. Munzila al-tawrati wal-injili wal-qur'an. The one who sent down the Torah and the Gospel, the Injil and the Quran. And some of the narrations said Al-Furqan. Al-Furqan is the Quran. And then after mentioning this, right, these names of Allah and these descriptions of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ supplicated, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And in some of the narrations, مِنْ شَرِّ kulli dhi sharrin. I seek refuge in you from the evil of everything, or from the evil of everything that possess evil. Anta akhidhun bi nasiyatihi. You are the one who controls his forelock, meaning Allah has power over those creatures. Allahumma anta al-awwalu. And in some of the narratives it doesn't say Allahumma. Anta al-awwalu. You are the first. فَلَيْسَ قَبْلَكَ شَيْءٌ. You are the first. The Prophet ﷺ said, what? Therefore there's nothing before you. The first meaning what? The one who there's nothing before him. وَأَنْتَ الْآخِرُ. وَأَنْتَ الْآخِرُ. And you are the last. فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْءٌ. So there's nothing after you. You're the last. After which there's nothing after you. Meaning there's no ending to Allah. وَأَنْتَ الظَّاهِرُ. And you are the uppermost, the most high. فَلَيْسَ فَوْقَكَ شَيْءٌ. So there's nothing above you. Because you are the most high. There's nothing above you. وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ. And you are the most near. فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٌ. So there's nothing nearer than you. And the Shaykh ended it there. And in the end of the hadith, actually the Prophet ﷺ said, اقضي عنا الدين. So fulfill our debt. Yani those debt that we have from the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. We're asking Allah to take away our debt. وَأَغْنِنَا مِنَ الْفَقْرِ. And to make us free from poverty. From what kind of poverty? The poverty that cause a person to be humiliated. Due to their poverty, they have to beg and they become degraded. We ask Allah to make us free from this. Na'am. And the sixth. Allahumma musta'an. Na'am. The sixth hadith, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This supplication, number six, is a supplication a person says at night if they get up to pray tahajjud. If a person get up, this is the opening supplication for the tahajjud prayer. And this is in the fortress of the Muslim, I believe. Supplication number 32, 16th chapter. The bab, supplications for opening, yani for opening the prayer if a person wakes up in the night to pray tahajjud. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma lakal hamd. O Allah, to you belongs the praise, all of it. Anta nuru samawati wal ard. You are the light of the heavens and the earth. Wa man fihinna. And whoever, whatever is in them, in the heavens and the earth. Wa lakal hamd. Anta qayyumu samawati wal ard. Wa man fihinna. And you are the sustainer of the heavens and the earth. And whatever and whoever is in them. And this hadith is reported in Bukhari and Nasai and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Ahmed and others. From Ibn Abbas. And it's a long supplication. It's one of the longest supplications that we'll find there. It's a very beautiful supplication. If somebody learns it, mashallah, they have really a treasure. They have a treasure. Na'am. The Prophet ﷺ went on to say after he said this, after he said this, the beginning of the supplication, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma lakal hamd, anta nuru samawati wal ard, wa man fihinna. You are the light of the heavens and earth and whatever is in them. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. And the praise belongs to you. أَنْتَ قَيُّومُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You are the sustainer of the heavens and earth. وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. And whatever is in them. He said, وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. And to you belongs the praise. Praise. أَنْتَ الْحَقِّ. You are the truth. وَوَعَدُكَ الْحَقِّ. And your promise is the truth. Allah's promise is the truth. He promised you believe in Him, worship Him, you'll enter Jannah. Allah's promise is the truth. وَقَوْلُكَ الْحَقُّ. And whatever Allah says is the truth. Your speech is the truth. وَلِقَاءُكَ الْحَقُّ. And your meeting is the truth. Meaning that we will go on from this earth to meet our Lord. We will see Him and we will be judged. And we will be recompensed according good with good and evil with evil. وَالْجَنَّةُ حَقٌّ. And the paradise is true. وَالنَّارُ حَقٌّ. And the hellfire is true. وَالسَّعَةُ حَقٌّ. And the hour of judgment is true. This is a fact. It's a fact. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَالنَّبِيُّونَ حَقٌّ. And the prophets are true. وَمُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَقٌّ. And the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is true. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اللهم لك أسلمت وعليك توكلت وبك آمنت. That I have submitted to you, O Allah. And I have put my trust in you, depending upon you, relying upon you alone. وبك آمنت. And I have believed in you. وإليك أنبت. And I have turned to you in repentance. وبك خاصمت وإليك حاكمت. And I have disputed for your sake. And I turn to you for judgment in every matter. Therefore, Therefore, after these statements of truth, فَغْفِرْ لِي مَا قَدَّمْتُ وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ وَمَا أَسْرَتُ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُ أَنْتَ الْمُقَدِّمُ وَأَنْتَ الْمُؤَخِّرُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَوْ لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. This hadith in Bukhari and others, it's in Sahih Muslim, but in a summarized version of it, the Prophet ﷺ in this supplication, we are in need of it. So therefore forgive me what I have done before, مَا قَدَّمْتُ وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ, and what I have not done yet, what I have delayed, وَمَا أَسْرَرْتُ, and what I have done secretly, وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُ, and what I have done openly. أَنْتَ الْمُقَدِّمُ, you are the one who put things ahead, يعني مُقَدِّم, advance the person, وَأَنْتَ الْمُؤَخِّرُ, or the one who sets back or delays the person, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ, there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except you. Or in some narration said, أَوْ لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, and the meaning is the same, يعني there is nothing deserves to be worshipped except you. Na'am. And this is the sixth supplication. And the Shaykh mentions the seventh supplication, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, which is also seventh supplication, very important supplication. Na'am. Very important supplication. It's one of the supplications that mention that it is mentioned about it, that in this supplication it contains the Ism al-Azam, the greatest name of Allah, which if he is called upon with it, he will answer, and if he is asked for something through it, he will give. And this supplication is mentioned in the Fortunes of the Muslim, supplication number 65, 24th chapter, supplicating before, yani after the last tashahud and before salam. Naam. And this hadith is also mentioned in Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Tirmidhi, and others. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma inni أسألك بأني أشهد أنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. That is, O Allah, verily I ask you, بأني أشهد أنك أنت الله. بأني أشهد, يعني باء here is باء السببية, يعني I ask you based upon the fact, يعني due to the reason that I have borne witness, أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ اللَّهُ, that you are definitely Allah, the one whom there is nothing that deserves to worship except you. الْأَحَدْ الصَّمَدْ, the one, الصَّمَدْ, the one who is without need of anyone, and everyone is in need of him. And other explanation has been given for الصَّمَدْ, the one who لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, who didn't يعني give birth to anything, nor was he born. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, and there is no one that is كُفُوًا, يعني مَثِيلًا, نِدًّا, نَظِيرًا, equal or similar or like you. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ, there is no one like him or similar to him or equal to him. نعم. And this supplication also, again, we're saying that this supplication is a supplication that we should learn. It should be said in the Salat, but it can be said any time, but especially in the end of the Salat, after the Tashahud Al-Akhir, يعني in the end of the Salat, in the last Rak'ah, before you make taslim. And in this place is one of the two very, very important places that a person should make dua, and that is when a person is in sajda, when they nearest to their Lord, and after the tashahud al-akhir, before you make taslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, supplicate whatever you will, whatever you will. And what better to supplicate with? Do you will to supplicate with anything better than this? What the Prophet ﷺ supplicated with? Naam. And the last hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, that he mentions here, Hadith number 8, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qalbi ala dinik. In this supplication we had in the hadith class previously, very, very beautiful, important supplication, ya muqallib al-qulub, O Allah, the one who turns over the hearts, thabbit qalbi ala dinik, make my heart firm upon your deen. And in some of the narrations, ya musarrif al-qulub, the one who turns, who controls the hearts, sarrif قلبي أو قلوبنا على طاعتك, make our hearts to be upon obedience to you. This hadith is reported in Tirmidhi and Ahmed and others. And the Shaykh said, and other than that, yani other hadith which are many, many, many. And this, the hadith that this supplication came in, يا مقلب القلوب, this is a short supplication. Everybody has to memorize it. Okay? Everybody has to memorize it. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. It's only a few words. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. Oh, the one who turns the hearts, Make my heart firm upon your deen. Now, in the hadith that this came in, the narrator of the hadith, she said, that is Salama, she said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, oh, how frequent, how often you are making this supplication. Ya muqallib al-kulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. He said, Ya Salama, innahu laysa adami illa qalbuhu bayna asbi'aini aw asbi'aini min asabi'illah. That there is no human being except that his heart is between two of the fingers of Allah. فَمَنْ شَاءَ أَقَامَ وَمَنْ شَاءَ زَاغَ. So whoever Allah wills, He will make their heart to be upright. And whoever Allah wills, He will cause their heart to go astray. And Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, he used to recite, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ الرَّحْمَةِ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابِ. O our Lord, do not cause our hearts to go astray after you have guided us. وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةِ And give us mercy from yourself. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابِ. Indeed, you are the one who gives gifts freely. Naam. So these are some of the hadith that the Shaykh mentions here under proofs, or some examples, I should say, of some of the names of Allah and His characteristics or qualities or descriptions that came in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will stop here. Even though, I mean, there are still some other points that I wanted to mention, but Allahu musta'an. We'll stop here, inshallah. Next week when we begin, if somebody remind me, I just want to read a couple of statements concerning the name, the greatest name of Allah, which if a person calls on Allah by it, He will answer them, and if they ask for anything, He will give them. There are some comments that are of, you know, benefit that inshallah we can mention concerning this, especially the statement of Shaykh Abdulaziz, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, in which he said his opinion concerning this, and we'll read it inshallah, but it is that all of the names of Allah are great, and any one of them that a person calls upon Allah by, if they're truthful from their heart, Allah will answer them. As long as there are no other mawaniya, things that they're doing that cause their dua not to be accepted, it will be accepted. And again, I'll say we'll stop here, and inshallah, maybe next week we'll read his statement, the exact words of what he said. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Naam. Naam. We'll just take a couple of questions quickly now. The askar of morning and evening. Now,
when are the particular
time that it allows? Brothers and sisters, the brother asks, when is the time the adhkar al-sabah al-masal, morning and evening, words of remembrance, when does it elapse? The best time for the adhkar al-sabah al-masal is based on hadith that's in Tirmidhi, where the Prophet ﷺ said, there is nothing more beloved to him. Yani, rather, it is more beloved to him than to sit after the asr prayer until maghrib, remembering Allah. That will be more beloved to him than freeing four slaves from the children of Ismail. Or to sit after the Fajr prayer until sunrise. That will be more beloved to him than sit in the masjid after praying Fajr until sunrise, remembering Allah, than to free four slaves from the children of Ismail alayhi salam. And this hadith is a clear proof that the best time for the adhkar al-sabah al-masa is in the morning after Fajr until sunrise. And in the evening after Asr until sunset. But as the scholars, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen and others said, that the time doesn't elapse with that. If a person missed that time, they should still do it anyway. But that's the best time to do it, and Allah knows best. Any question about what we talked about tonight? Now.
When you said, Allahumma ya muqallib al-kulub.
Ya muqallib al-kulub. Now. Musarrif al-kulub. Brothers, just try a little because I can barely hear the brother.
Of the Umm Salama.
Naam.
You said Umm Salama said, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the heart of the Bani Adam is within the finger of Allah.
Naam.
So as the scholar said, maybe I'm trying to discuss, then I do like this. If I go against the Sunnah, when I say I'm talking that, not say, maybe to do a demonstration.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't do any demonstration. He didn't do any demonstration. He said that it's between two of the fingers of Allah. Naam. That's sufficient. Now, let's erase the demonstration, inshallah. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.